$216 million on revenue, adjusted revenue of $8.3 billion. You promised this, but then there was the hiccup with the variant and surging cases in August and September. Were you ever doubtful that you would achieve this milestone?
It was a strong goal of ours to be profitable through the summer. I was optimistic. It's probably a better word, not necessarily confident, but optimistic that we could do it, and the team did it. The variant hurt us a bit on revenue, not a lot, but a bit, as it hit the industry broadly, as a fair bit of business travel, other travel patterns stalled, didn't continue to grow. But the other thing that hit us equally was the rise in fuel prices, which escalated pretty heavily over the course of the quarter that are continuing into the fourth quarter. But the fact that we're profitable while still missing one-third of our revenue base, I think, is a great statement about the resilience of the business that we've created and our opportunity to continue to improve it into the new year as demand recovers.
If I may, I want to talk to you about international as well as business, especially the strong numbers with Latin America. But very quickly, last question about August and September. Had we not had the surge in cases of the variant, I got to imagine these numbers would have been better, or was it not quite as big a negative impact?
No, it would have been better. We were anticipating a pre-tax margin in the mid-single digits. We delivered a pre-tax margin of 3%, so we were off, a handful of 2 to 4 points from where we could have been. So the variant definitely hurt us some.
Let's talk, though, about what's going very well, it would appear. Latin American travel, I believe, you're at 84% of what the revenue had been in 2019. What surprises you, or, do you consider when you hit a metric like that?
Well, in our business, Latin is largely the closer in parts of Latin America. It's Mexico, it's the Caribbean, the beaches of Central America, not so much South America, which is still, meaningfully behind those numbers. Americans are looking for places to travel abroad, and Americans were able to go throughout the summer to Latin America, to Mexico, to the beaches with a testing protocol and escape the states. And as we look to reopen Europe next month and other parts of the world here, I think it's going to be a great indicator that there's a lot of pent-up demand ready to go once those borders are reopened.
Well, I wanted to ask you about Europe, because transatlantic revenue was at 35% of what it had been 2 years ago. But come November, we have new travel restrictions in the United States, which allow people to enter no matter what country, as long as they can prove vaccination, and European borders are opening up. What kind of impact will that have in your fourth quarter?
It's going to be significant. We're looking at, in November and December, a very nice pickup of international business. Our European point of sale, when the news was announced by the White House that the restrictions were going to be lifted for access into our country, those bookings went up 10x overnight from where they had been. So we were over 90% of the bookings we've been taking to that point were U.S. point of sale going to Europe. We need it to be more balanced. Our typical relation is 60-40 U.S. to international point of sale. So we were missing a huge part of our demand pool. I can tell you I was over in London a couple weeks ago. People are ready to come to the States. They haven't been here for close to 3 years, many people or more. And there's a lot of not just people they need to see and families reconnecting. There's businesses to be gathered. There's clients to be seen. Colleagues, schooling, there's a lot of reasons why you're going to see the same level of surge, not just, in the November, December time frame, but I think even more importantly in the spring and summer 22 for European travel that we saw this past summer when U.S. travel really opened in May.
When you guide for fourth quarter revenue recovery to be in the low 70%, what are you seeing now as far as domestic and bookings for the holidays?
Well, domestic is doing quite well. Quarter guide is really a tale of two parts of the quarter. Month of October, we're seeing very similar to the patterns we saw in September and even August. The variant was causing a fairly significant pause and delay in growth in new bookings. So October is only about 65% recovered relative to 19. But we expect the months of November and December to see a 10-point increase, and those months to be at 75% restored. Part of that is the international I just mentioned. Part of that is business demand is really picking up over these last 4 to 6 weeks. The current week, this past week, we just saw the highest level of domestic business activity and volume that we've seen in 18 months. And that recovery rate approaches 50% in the U.S., and that number we expect to continue to grow as more and more businesses open later this year or into the new year. So I'm seeing a really meaningful amount of arrows pointed up here that indicate that we should close strong on demand, and we need to manage fuel prices the best we can because that's escalated. But I think we're going to get off to a really good start for the new year, given the indications I'm seeing.
And let's get to the fuel prices. Savi Syth over at Raymond James recently pointed out that jet fuel has surged 20% in the third quarter on average, and that fuel expenses can account for 25% of an airline's operating expense. Is that in line with what you deal with at Delta?
It is. In fact, if you look over the course of the year to date, fuel prices are up 60%, 6-0. So it's escalated dramatically over this last year, and in the last few weeks, it's up about 15%. So we need to find ways to cover that through pricing actions and ensuring that if our price can't be met in the marketplace, we may have to adjust our demand, our supply, and capacity offerings to ensure that we can cover cost. But it's something we have a lot of experience at, Adam. I think in the last decade, the industry has done a nice job of figuring out how to manage fuel spikes. There's always a lag. It usually takes 3 to 6 months before a fairly significant amount of fuel can wind up in pricing. But consumers are interested in travel, and consumers have a meaningful amount of wealth, and I think they can cover the higher costs. Pricing's down in general this year. So there's some room for us to cover it in higher fuel costs.
When you talk about, you know, potential increased ticket prices, you're seeing people pay more for premium tickets. So when I say more, a greater willingness to buy the business class or the first class ticket, is that accurate?
It is. People have, you know, we've seen a lot of behavioral shifts over the last 18 months because of COVID, and one of those is premium is more highly desired. People are looking after their health, their safety. They want more space on the plane. Delta has a reputation. We've blocked the middle seats throughout the entire pandemic of providing them that space and having more premium seats than any airline out there. And the demand for that is actually outstripping the demand for basic fares.
I wanted to ask you, too, these new I don't want to call them easier guidelines for travel into the United States, but it's going to make a world of difference that it won't be country by country. It's anybody worldwide as long as they can prove vaccination. When you heard that the administration was going to move in that direction come this November, what did you think?
I was excited. You know, we've been asking and we've been politicking and privately, publicly, you know, in large groups and small groups, and We've known for a number of months now that the vaccination rates, particularly in Europe, and the level of the variant in Europe was at a better place than it was here in the U.S. And I know the White House wanted to continue to see vaccination rates improve here in the U.S. And the fact that we were able to get there and get their consent to let European nationals continue. And by the way, my the thrill was not solely for self-motivated for our business. I just think of all the thousands and thousands of notes I've received from families that haven't been able to see grandchildren and loved ones and people on their, unfortunately, their deathbeds. And it's just crisis situations. We've all become numb to some level of what COVID has done to us. And we kept our continents apart for almost 3 years now. You know, when you think about the length of time people may have made their last trip. So I just think about the joy of reconnecting, and that's what we do best. We bring the world together, we connect, and we're the conduit through which that joy occurs.
You're also, by the way, since the beginning of the year, you've hired 8,000 new employees. How many more do you have to go to get the airline staffed at the level you want?
We're largely there for this year. We may have another 1,000 to 2,000 that we'll bring in over the remainder of this year. And then we're going to be in a place that we've got our staffing levels where they need to be. Now, we'll be continuing to hire in the next several years flight attendants, pilots, mechanics, but those we have longer lead times on. The biggest challenge we faced was that we had close to 20,000 people early retire, you know, this time a year ago, and those 8,000 that we brought in are replacing them. So with the volumes coming back strong this year, we need to get people in position. We haven't had any problem at all hiring. People love to come work for this brand, and we've done a nice job. We've got a new generation of employees here at Delta.
And can you help us understand, because this seems to be a milestone that might get missed in a lot of the coverage, is that the number of enrollees in the Sky Miles program has now exceeded 2019. Why is that a metric that people who might want to invest in the company should pay attention to?
Well, it shows the interest in our product going forward. There's tremendous desire to travel. And given the fact that people were not able to travel, they've had that taken away from them, and they're building up points, and they're finding ways by which they can accumulate and get ready for the trips when they feel it's the right time to go. It speaks to the strength of our brand. Our brand's a strong brand. It's a high-quality brand, and people want to be part of our program. Not just the Sky Miles applications are up over that two-year period, which is great. The applicants for our credit card is also close to the levels we saw in 2019, the American Express Delta card. And overall spending on that card is the highest producing card in the American Express portfolio. That overall spend level is up 15% of where it was at 2019, despite the fact that travel, which is a big part of the card spend, is down. So people are investing in our brand. They're getting ready to go. And the brand is really healthy, despite having come through a tough time.
The scheduling issues that some of the carriers have been facing over the last year, is this an anomaly because of the staffing levels, and do you see this getting better for the industry going forward, or are we going to have to live with this kind of stuff going forward?
Well, I think staffing is a piece of it. I think part of it is being disciplined about the capacity that you're trying to put out there. In the marketplace at Delta, we've been one of the most disciplined, meaning we have, you know, less supply versus some of the other carriers, and we actually have had an amazing year. We measure our one of our reliability indicators is the amount of days of the year that we have no cancellations, and that's across both Delta as well as all of our regional affiliates. Over 4,000 flights a day. We've had 116 days of this year without a single cancellation, which is on par with where we were in 2019 at this time. So I think staffing is one thing that people need to focus on, but I think it's also about, you know, not putting commitments out there that you can't keep.
And when you look forward, is there a period yet when you can say you're back at 100% of capacity and your revenue projections are back at 100%?
I think that's going to be 2023, Adam. We're exiting this year at about a 75% clip of revenue recovery, and I would expect over the course of 2022 that 75% would hopefully grow close to 100% as international markets continue to come back online and business travel continues to be restored and the world continues to heal from the variant and COVID in general. And I would say 2023 should be a really good year for us to target to not just being back, but being better than where we were in 2019.